I want you to look again, if you would, verse 10 of this text. And in particular, I want you to notice a little word that's repeated twice in the verse for emphasis. Verse 10 says, if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. The word up is the emphasis of this text, as you can see, and so it is that I want to speak this morning on the subject, a friend lifts you up. A friend lifts you up. One of the most prominent themes in all of the Bible, without any doubt, is the value and the virtue of biblical friendship. Companionship, friendship, in the New Testament, a favorite word is fellowship. It's all the same, and all the way from the very beginning, when God said that it's not good that man should be alone, the Scriptures have had very much to say about the value and, as I said, the virtue and the victory of friends and friendship. Our own Savior, who was a friend of sinners, who was a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, as the words Mackenzie sang just a moment ago alluded to, who said in John 11:11, our friend Lazarus is dead and I must awake him, who said in John chapter 15, ye are my friends, who saw Abraham, quote, as the friend of God. Our Lord, who in so many parables used the value of friendship in order to illustrate spiritual truth, reminds us of the incredible importance and, yes, the spiritual need of a friend in today's world. Maybe you're out there and you're thinking to yourself, Pastor, I sure am glad that you're talking about friends today, because I really need a friend right now. I wish that I had a friend who could lift me up, focusing on the word up. Well, I have no doubt that that is true. Everybody in this room needs or will need the help of friends, parents, who will be a friend, a brother, a sister, a husband, a wife, son, daughters, fellow believers, sometimes maybe someone in business, a partner, a colleague. It doesn't matter who the friend is, but everybody needs them. However, I'm not speaking this morning about your need or my need of a friend. I'm looking at this text in Ecclesiastes and all of the verses that I've been reading the past few weeks, and I'm realizing that God primarily teaches us in His Word how to be that friend. How to be the friend when someone else is down. Somebody needs you to lift them up. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your goodness to us. We ask for your help as we consider these verses in your Word. These texts, Lord, these truths that we all need. And I pray in heeding them and hearing them, Father, lives will be helped, encouraged, strengthened, and changed for your glory. We'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Jackie Robinson, as most of you know, was the first black man to play Major League Baseball. And of course, early on, everywhere that Jackie Robinson would play, he was jeered and booed for breaking the so-called color barrier. He endured through all of that, but in his own testimony at one game, it was a home game in Brooklyn, he committed an error at second base. That error led his own fans and his own people to ridicule him and humiliate him. And as he stood there at second base, completely dejected, all of the weeks and the months, the burden that weighed down in his soul and the ridicule, he said he was crushed underneath it. About that time, the then shortstop, a man by the name of Pee Wee Reese, came over and he simply put his arm around him while they were jeering him, and he faced the crowd, he himself being a hometown hero, until the crowd grew silent. Jackie Robinson later said that that arm around his shoulder at that moment saved his career, and possibly, he said, even his life. Pastor, I wish I had a friend like that. Or maybe, I'm glad that I have a friend like that. Well, both of those are very noble sentiments today, but the real question this morning, for me at least, is whether or not I am a friend like that. In other words, to be like Christ, when you know somebody who is down, what you do is what our Lord would do, and that is you lift them up. You'll notice the last line in verse 12 says, a threefold cord is not easily broken. In other words, a rope with one strand can be broken quickly, and even two is somewhat weaker than three, but three exponentially is stronger. Well, folks, there is a threefold cord of friendship in this text that is definitely not easily or quickly broken.
How does a friend be a true friend and lift other people up? I want you to consider these. Number one, you'll notice it is a friendship, Solomon says, in the blessings of life. Verse 9 says this, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Let me say this. As a pastor, one of the things I've observed over the years about friendships and relationships and why friendships are not always maintained is that blessings sadly become a part of the problem. In other words, a shortstop puts his arm around a second baseman because the second baseman failed, and that is being a friend. But what does the shortstop do when the second baseman is so successful that he takes his position away from him? There is a test, a friendship. You know, by the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul said to rejoice with them that rejoice. Ladies and gentlemen, if you really want to be a Bible friend, a true friend biblically speaking, then what you've got to do is help others be fruitful in their lives as well. Be a part in lifting them up. This man Solomon, the man who penned these words, had a great model of friendship with his own father David and David's friend Jonathan. You know, Jonathan, as Saul's son, was the heir apparent to the throne of Israel. And yet, instead of hindering David from becoming the king, Jonathan was quite pleased to help him. To help him become the king. That's biblical friendship. Friends not only rejoice when their brother and their sister wins or is promoted, but friends have a part in it. They help them. They lift them up into that winning or that promotion. In other words, envy has no part in a Christian fellowship, in a Christian's friendship. You know, the proof that Satan was no friend of God was his envy. He was jealous of God's great position. And if you're here this morning and you want to be counted, as I hope you do, as a true Bible friend, lift somebody up specifically. Lift them up the ladder so that they will be fruitful as well. And as Solomon says, therefore have a good reward for their labor. You know, one of the unfortunate reasons that some people are unwilling to be a friend, in other words, to help others become fruitful and have a blessing and be a blessing, and the reason is they're afraid of sharing those blessings. And they have the mistaken notion that it will somehow cost them something. And in fact, that's exactly what Solomon describes in the verse before it. Look at verse 8. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet there is no end to all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul for good? This is also vanity. Yea, it is a sore travail. In other words, here's a man who's a loner. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, except that his motive for being alone is that he's a miser. He wants it all. And you know, we get the word misery from the word miser. A miser is described in verse 8 as being miserable in his life. Why? In large part because he will not share in blessings. He's alone because he's unwilling to be a friend who lifts others to higher ground. Solomon says two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. You know, Vacation Bible School on Thursday, I looked down. Brother Sean and I are over here, and this is the main section. I looked down right over here in the front row. And the twos and threes are on the front row, and I noticed, it's so cute, there were these two girls. And they were arm in arm, and they were smiling at each other, and they would hug each other, and they would laugh together. They were in total and complete friendship and affection. It was adorable. But then the unthinkable happened. One of the two won a candy bar for singing the loudest. I didn't think about it that much, but on the very next song, I looked down, and the one girl was pulling the other girl's hair down and trying to steal her candy bar. It was PG-13 for intense violence. Just like that. They were best buds. And all of a sudden they were clawing each other over that candy bar. Such is the fallen nature of man. But you know, beloved, it doesn't have to be that way. Iron sharpens iron, the Bible says. You know, God wants people to be friends in the midst of blessings, to sharpen one another spiritually, even physically.
Number two. Number one, lift him up to blessings. Number two, you'll notice he also says, lift them up in their burdens, verse 10. For if they fall, the one will lift up. The one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, he hath not another to help him up. You know, the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 17 says, a friend loveth at all times. At all times? You know, in our society, we tend to think that the sole purpose of friendship is just, you know, there's someone there to share the good times with, someone to laugh and party and have fun with. And, you know, that's a part of it, a small part of it, because we quoted a minute ago that you are to rejoice with them that rejoice. But, you know, here the Bible reminds us that a real friend picks us up when we fall. A real friend, biblically speaking, is someone who gets us over and through the very tough times in life, because everybody has them. So that if you want to be a friend, then don't just be willing to laugh with people. You have to be willing to cry and weep with them as well. I'm speaking to someone here this morning, and I'm sure there are those whose son or whose daughter has fallen and disappointed you. Maybe a brother or a sister. Could be a parent, employer, whoever it is. Somebody has fallen down. And you know what? They need help. And let me say, ladies and gentlemen, don't abandon them now. Don't turn your back on them now. It may be that now is when they absolutely need your spiritual fellowship and friendship the most. Lift him up. The very first thing I thought of a couple days ago when I read in the paper that Sylvester Stallone's son overdosed with pills, possibly committed suicide. All the money, all the fame, he had good looks, he had it all. They said his body probably laid there for over a week. Now, can you imagine someone with that last name dying, committing suicide, and nobody even knowing about it, being concerned about it for a week? The first thing I thought of when I read that, because I wonder if that man had one single friend who wasn't interested in his fame, wasn't interested in name, wasn't interested in money. If he had one friend who could come along by his side since the time he had fallen. I wondered if there was one person without seeking something in return who's willing to lift him up. A friend loveth at all times. If they fall, Solomon said, the one will lift up his fellow. I remember years ago there was a homeless man in McDonald's I was speaking with. And we got to just talking. He had asked me some questions, and so I was writing sermon notes. And he told me all about his life and how he had a great family at one time and a successful career and so on. And I asked him, I said, what would have changed your circumstances all those many years ago before you lost your family, your career, your reputation? He said this. He said, Reverend, all I needed early on was a single friend. There was a point in my life, he said, if there was one person, someone, who could come along at that moment and just be my friend. You know, someone once said that it's very easy to tell the difference between a friend and an acquaintance. All you have to do is get yourself into trouble. You know, you call someone at 2 a.m. because you're in trouble. The friend is the one who's getting dressed while asking where you are. The acquaintance sees caller ID and doesn't answer. I was talking to Ben a few years ago when the movie Toy Story was making a sequel. It was very cleverly called Toy Story 2. He said, Dad, do you know why Toy Story was the most successful animated film of all time? And I said, I was curious. No, why? He said, because the lyrics in the song were true. You've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, just remember what your old pal said. You've got a friend in me. And he said this. He said, Dad, he said, it was true. I mean, that... what was he, cowboy? Was the only one, but he was a true friend to the very end, and that's why it became so popular. You know, that resonates with people.
How many people do you know that are a friend when you fall? How many of you will be that kind of a friend? The word friend is thrown around a lot. I saw Brother Gene this morning. We were walking into church, and I said, hello, friend. He said, hello, friend. In Washington, D.C., it cracks me up. The senators get up there, and they use the word friend like a knife. Madam President, I'd like to correct my good friend, Senator Smith of Ohio, by suggesting to my good friend that he's so ugly, Hello Kitty said goodbye, or something like that. I don't know. My good friend that I wish would boil in oil or something. You want to be a friend? In the context that you want to be like our Lord Jesus Christ, then you help the one up who's fallen. Because chances are about 100% that somebody lifted you up. Somewhere along the line, somebody lifted you up. And chances are about 100% that somebody, you're going to need somebody to help you out, to lift you up, to encourage you again in the future. Verse 11, look at it. Again, if two lie together and they have heat, how can one be warm alone? You know, there are times in life when it just gets cold. There are times of heartache and sadness, of bitterness and despair. Bible friends were made for times like that. Lift him up. Folks, life is full of burdens. You ever notice the evening news starts out with some anchor person saying, good evening, and then he spends the next 30 minutes telling you why it's not? That's life. And there are times when it's cold and it hurts and it's painful. And sometimes some people are under so many burdens that they have fallen flat. Be the friend that lifts them up. You know, you could actually be the friend that kicks them while they're down, that talks about them falling down, that brings them down. The blessings of life, the burdens of life. Number three, to be a true Bible friend, lift him up in the battles of life. And there are always battles. Verse 12. If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You see, when somebody's being attacked, he can usually face the enemy if he's got one person to help defend them. When this verse was written, it was hand-to-hand combat all of the time, and typically it would be back-to-back. Fighting together. And by the way, this is one of the marks of true friendship, when you come to the defense of somebody that you love. And folks, how Christ-like is that? When we sing the hymn, O Worship the King, I love that hymn. But I especially love the last few words of the stanza where it says, thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our maker, defender, redeemer, and friend. Our friend is also our defender. And it is true that if you're going to be a true friend, a Bible friend, you will be a defender as well. One of the teachers up in Knoxville one year asked her first graders at Thanksgiving time to draw something for which they were thankful. And of course, she figured that they would draw the usual things they do every year, pictures of mom or dad or food on the table. One little boy, who was a new child, who was partially lame on his feet, walked with a limp. He drew a picture of a hand, just a hand. Some of the kids sort of made fun of it. Others thought it was unusual, obviously. The teacher wondered why Douglas drew the picture of a hand. Later on, she quietly walked over and asked him why he was thankful for a hand and whose hand it was. And little Douglas said, it's your hand, Mrs. Evans. Because every time at recess when someone starts to pick on me, you always come over and take me by the hand. It's one of our great presidents who once said that nothing ever refreshed his spirit more than when a friend came to his side when he was fighting a battle. Kevin and I love to read about World War II. Brother Gail English used to give me a magazine every month, True Stories of World War II. One of the stories I read was about two young friends who had become inseparable. They grew up together. They had enlisted together. They trained together. They actually ended up in battle together, and as the sergeant tells the story, it was during one particular attack. Jerry's friend was critically wounded.
The entire area in this town was under enemy crossfire, and to go out and rescue him was pretty much suicide. But that's exactly what he decided to do. Against the orders of his sergeant, who said, "You can't help him. You're just going to get yourself killed." He instinctively ran out into the street, and he picked up his friend, and he carried him back to their position. In the process, he was shot in the back. He fell to the ground. He fell with his friend. The sergeant was deeply moved, but also angry, and he shouted, "He's dead, and now you're dying." In the midst of caring, he says, "Was that worth that?" And as he lay there bleeding, he said, "It was worth it, Sarge, because the last words he said to me were, 'I knew you would come.'" Do they know you would come? I wonder this morning if our friends know that if they're under attack spiritually, maybe if their own fault, maybe not, but do they know that we would come and lift them up in the midst of that attack? That we would rise to that occasion. A friend in the blessings and the burdens and the battles of life, a friend comes along and lifts them up. All of it's an amazing reminder to me, beloved, that every one of us, we all have precisely this kind of a friend. We have, as the Bible says, a friend who sticketh closer than a brother, because what the Lord Jesus does always is lift us up. He is the one who's lifted us up to higher ground from the moment we got saved and we were down in the miry clay. He is the one who lifts us up when we fall and when we are attacked. He's our maker, our defender, our redeemer, and our friend. Some of you here this morning, perhaps you don't fully understand this yet. But the Bible says that Lord Jesus Christ was wounded in the house of his friends. In other words, he is a friend of sinners, because today, just as he has done for millions and millions of sinners, he will lift you up. And I mean lift you up out of the miry clay, lift you up out of a station in life where you are lost and on your way to hell. And he will put your feet upon a rock. He will establish your goings. This is the friend of sinners. If you by faith will take, if you'll take his hand, the Lord Jesus Christ will lift you from being lost and without salvation to being saved and with eternal life. Christian, Christ is our model of true friendship. And as we noted this past Wednesday night, having loved his own which were in the world, the Bible says he loved them unto the end. I want to read to you, if I could, a familiar text about friendship from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's very familiar, but it's also quite often separated from the text that's before it. John 15:13 says this, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." The next verse says, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." But let me read you the verse before those. Verse 12 says, "This is my commandment." You know, if you're saved today, the Lord Jesus is your master. He is your Lord. He is your Savior. And if he's uttering a commandment, it is a commandment to all of us. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." That's a tall order. And then he goes on to talk about friendship in the next two verses. What the Lord is saying is, the way I have been a friend, I want you to be a friend. Love one another as I have loved you. It is a commandment from our Lord that says that fellow believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, are called to be friends of the highest order. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a friend? Be grateful. Are you a friend? Be even more grateful. We sang a moment ago, "Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend." Father, bless the invitation. I pray that you'll bless now decisions in people's hearts and my own heart, Lord. Thank you that all of us in this room know that we have a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. Our Redeemer, our Defender, our friend. And thank you that because of the salvation he's brought to our hearts, we too can be a true Bible friend. We can lift others up, even as we've been lifted up. May be aware of the leading of the Holy Spirit in this great ministry. And Father, for those who have asked for prayer to that end, draw them to you, strengthen them to that decision, Lord. For those in this room that do not know Christ as friend, do not know him as Savior, may they be saved today, please. We'll give you praise for that. In Jesus' precious name, amen.